Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, featuring Blue and Joe Grande, the world's number one source for everything cannabis.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, your world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name's Connor, and sat next to me is the one and only Joe Grande.
Thank you.
And we're here on Cannabis Talk. And before we get into it, I just want to thank you for listening to our podcast, Cannabis Talk 101, all around the world. Make sure you check out our website, cannabistalk101.com, as we have so many great articles and blogs on our site. Feel free to call us anytime at 1-800-420-1980. Thank you. Check us out on YouTube.
Welcome to the show, Joe.
Check us out on YouTube and IG at Cannabis Talk 101. Blue is at the one Christopher Wright. And Joe Grande is at Joe Grande 52.
Yes, I am.
Joe, insurance is important.
It really is, though. Did you know that 30 million people don't have it in this country alone?
I do, and thank you to Rising Tide for that. And if you're looking for better health care at a better cost, then check out Rising Tide Benefits. Rising Tide Benefits is a benefits platform for independent workers and companies that empower them. Did you know, as we just said, 30 million people are not even insured at all?
And it doesn't hurt to just even price compare. I mean, if you're paying for insurance, why don't you give them a call?
Yeah, may as well.
Literally. They're very loose.
They're very receptive.
Everything to gain.
Ask for Kat Dara. She's the best.
Kat's the best. Love you, Kat.
This impacts the lives and livelihoods of so many. Together, we can do better. So if you need insurance for you or your company, check out Rising Tide Benefits at risingtidebenefits.com. Joe, thank you for joining me today. I have a few not current stories, but I'm going to take you down memory lane, so to speak. We're going to do a little history lesson here on Cannabis Talk 101.
Well, for those that are listening right now, I just want to tell you before we go any further that Connor, for this last 2 minutes, asked me if he could lead the show, and I gladly said yes. So we're going to let Connor continue. Go ahead.
I'm leading the show, and I'm choosing us.
Yes.
For us to go back in time, just like Marty McFly. My first stop is in China. And Joe, are you aware of the influence of cannabis in China?
Well, my knowledge goes back to the ancient Chinese using the herbs and loving the herbs until one of the kings got a little peyote crazy and hallucinated and then went off on this tangent and talked about how bad it was. And then because he was the king and he could dictate and rule, therefore he said, this is bad.
No more.
That's what I know. And then it went from being bad to still being bad out there.
Yes.
Because of the guy who got a little twisted.
Yes.
Isn't that the story the way it goes? So summarized somewhat?
It goes back even further.
Okay.
To, I want to say, around 2000 BC. And there was...
Before Christ. As we talked about Moses last one.
Yes. And so there was an ancient...
I love you, Andrea. I love you so much.
We got Andrea spectating. She did great on her first show, by the way.
She does great everything. She's just a wonderful person.
Such a knowledgeable human. She's just a lot amazing. To learn from her.
She's just an amazing person. Like, she's just one of the person when she's around, you know, everything's better.
Amen to period. That. She made me apple juice the other day, and it was.
I mean, when she's around, you just, everything's better. Good doesn't matter.
Fuck.
Good hugs, good love, good comfort, good drinks, good cup. She's just a good person. Just one of those, like, oh, solid.
We got fruit on the kitchen counter right now. It's all good.
She's literally, when I see, you know, she's here, I just get the, like, one of those internal happiness of, like, oh, I feel like I'm taken care of.
And anxiety has been taken away.
Yeah. I maybe can come off my anxiety medicine.
There we go.
No, because she keeps leaving. She left me already.
So. Getting back into it, Joe.
So China.
China. In Chinese folklore, Shen Nung, an ancient Chinese emperor who is known for his contribution to Chinese medicine and agriculture. According to legend, he is credited with discovering tea and is also believed to have tried cannabis as a medicine. Shen Nung is depicted.
He found tea, huh? Wow.
That is the lore, the folklore. And Shen Nung is depicted as a wise ruler who tested the effects of various plants on himself, including cannabis. And he.
I would imagine so, dude. If you found tea, you're digging.
This dude was down for it. Like, yeah. I remember, so I did a little deep dive on him a long time ago, and he wrote like a medical treatise, however you want to say it, and pretty much documented. Over the use of over 200 different plants that he had no idea the effects of, because he didn't want to test on other people. He thought, you know, I may as well figure it out on my own. And he took and recovered from over like 70, like out of the
poisons like, and all kinds of crazy shit that messed him up.
Yes, he survived over like 70 different like lethal poisons, and like with all of his knowledge that he had acquired beforehand, was able to, you know, survive it. And so, you know, it ended up getting to the point where he had...
I mean, that's what had to happen back in the day. I mean, if you think about it, somebody had to figure it out. I mean,
no, not for real.
I mean, right, when you think about it, because you say that, you got to think about it going, well, everything we use, even are these pharmaceuticals that comes from some type of a plant, and then add in the other shit that they put, but, you know.
For real. And it would take a brave soul to go and do that. You know what I'm saying? To go against the status quo of already the limited knowledge that you
We're
know.
We're so lucky to be alive in this time.
I know that I can just go on Google and like check it real quick and I'll be fine. Or I can ask Joe right here and he probably has the answer for me.
Imagine you had a toothache, you hit your toe on a rock because you didn't have shoes, and it's like, what do you do for pain then?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, my toe's purple. Is it going to be like that forever? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know any of that shit. And so like this guy, brave as hell, went and, you know, tried everything and found out a lot of knowledge about cannabis. And he, you know, is credited with you know, cultivating the plant and realizing that there's a male and female part, and that the male and female have different aspects and different.
Really?
Yes. And so he, you know, he was a practitioner of all medicines, so he wanted to see what this plant was all about.
And he had a green thumb like that, huh? Where not only did he try it, but he's able to identify male, female, and he's the one who did that?
Yes. And
that's so interesting.
And so.
And this is in China.
In China, in like BC.
So that, and that's what I remember. I remember hearing that. Yeah, it came from China, the herbs and this and that. A Chinese emperor then like stopped it because he got all twisted on it. And
yeah, you know, there's always various reasons. Like, you know, I have further into the show, I have, you know, other topics that we're going to go to that may touch on some answers to it. But, you know, everyone has their reasons whether or not they like the plant. Like, you know, we know George Bush was smoking on that kush and it wasn't fucking legal. So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and, you know, they were growing it back then, too, for him.
Oh, for sure. This dude was smoking up fat. I guarantee it.
I mean, you got to think, too, back in those days, even way back further. Let's go for, you know, even the early presidency. Was it George Washington had the cotton fields, cannabis fields? And you know, it's just funny that you think about what this country has gone through universally, circle and cycles of it's legal, it's not legal, it's a no big deal, it's a big deal. Somebody gets fucked up off it. And then you're realizing, oh my God, there's so much benefit to this plant.
Yeah, no, totally. And that's what Shen Nung found out. And so, you know, there's evidence to suggest that the use of cannabis for medicinal purposes dates back to Shen Nung. In fact, the earliest known written record of cannabis as medicine comes from the ancient Chinese pharmacopoeia.
So is this the earliest that we can track anybody talking about cannabis?
Yes.
Any reference of cannabis, this is the first one.
Yeah, and the book is called...
Wow, Connor, that's a great one. I've actually heard of this, and I remember hearing, but I didn't realize that this is the first reference. What's his name again?
His name is Shen Nung, and he wrote the Pen Cao, and that describes the use of cannabis for a range of conditions, including pain, inflammation, menstrual cramps, and recommends different preparations of the plant for different ailments. And this dates back to 1800 BC.
This is like Moses' time.
Yeah, a long time ago. And wow. Like, obviously, we got, you know, different people at different times, but they're doing different things with cannabis, and it all kind of relates to the general time frame, and it all kind of starts to, the dots start to connect as people start to use cannabis relatively at the same
time. Is this now, because you're saying this, do you know, I don't know the exact time of Moses, because I'm just trying to reference the burning bush is what I'm saying, from that being in China.
Let's look it up.
Well, let's look that up while we're talking about it, right? Thank you, Connor, for being a young whippersnapper that has a computer in front of him, and usually I do, but I'm not that smart and googly fast like that. But look up the timing on, you know, the era of Moses, and then the era of this guy, because if the burning bush came after, then he was referenced, and not that the burning bush is cannabis, but so many people think it is.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying?
It has to be.
But God was talking to him through the burning bush. I love it, but I can see he may be smoking. The bush may have been a cannabis bush. It could have been on fire. It could be whatever. But my point is, which of those came first? Moses or the... can I get his name again so I can learn it, please?
Shen Nung.
Shen Nung. He's an emperor?
Yeah, Chinese.
Emperor Shen Nung in China was BC as well. You said 700 BC?
Okay. Moses?
Joe, you have another computer over there, and Shen you're Nung. A young whippersnapper. Let's see how fast you can figure this out and look it up on the computer. You're right, and get on the mic. And make it look like you're doing something over there instead of sitting down there, you know, listening to us talk. Oh, yeah, that's how you do a producing show. You know what, Joe, you're pretty smart.
Okay, so Shen Nung was 1,000 years before. Oh, roughly.
1,000 years before Moses?
Yeah.
Wow, so he's literally the first reference.
Yeah.
Because meaning people reference Moses as seeing that as cannabis, right?
Yeah, so it said Moses was 15th years. Century BC and then BCE, and then Shen Nung was 2695 BCE. Wow. So that he's the first overall
period
practitioner of this shit. Pay respects to this man.
Say his name again.
Shen Nung.
Shen
Nung. N-U-N-G.
Shen Nung is the first to ever reference cannabis. 2300 BC. 2700 BC, and Shen Nung references cannabis as a medicine.
Yes,
to use for him to even reference women like that too. Menstrual cycles, it says, huh?
Yep, and
that's
this,
amazing.
So he, out of his the Pen Cao, the book that he wrote, the medical encyclopedia. He had tried 365 herbs, eventually dying from a toxic overdose, from my understanding, but got to 365 herbs without dying. And this treatise was later expanded by countless generations of doctors and is a main reason why knowledge of remedial herbs is so expansive in China.
Of course. Because, yeah, we look at herbs and what they do for us as part of the natural herbs. And not only that, the Native American Indians as well.
Totally.
It's what, you know.
They had peyote and they were doing their rituals.
But same kind of concept, though, with the Asian folks out there in China. I see it all being similar and same.
Totally. And it was kind of all around the same time, I feel like.
We were hunters and gatherers. Let's just take it further back. I mean, we gathered, we hunted, whether it came from Adam and Eve, bomb, whatever. There's so many stories.
And, like, think about it from, like, a literal standpoint from these people back in the day. Like, obviously, like, they have a limited perception of reality as it is at that point. So when they see a plant that is given to them by their God that alters their perception, like, of course, they're going to want to take that to talk to their God and understand.
And who's to say Moses wasn't using that and smoking that? Because for Moses to tap in like that.
Yeah. And like,
and then it was a burning bush. But yet alone, there's no references really of them gathering and smoking or the peyote or even ever references of it was breaking bread and more baking. And or maybe they just didn't reference it and talk about it because it was so normal.
And however,
it was normalized.
The Bible that we're reading, the Bible that we are reading right now, from my understanding,
the King James,
heavily translated throughout time. So like, think about it. Like when you translate something through Google Translate, it changes a little bit every single time. So like, we're not getting like a direct one for one.
Well, the stories told as well that I've dug deep into my studies,
yes,
studying with Pastor Dick Burnell, MC Hammer, doing a show called The God House, when it comes to Bibles and references. And one thing that I did learn about that was that the King James Bible, that is the most heavily used Bible.
The most accurate?
Well, the bottom line is King James, once he got all the stories from everybody, he chopped off everyone's tongue. And then the stories are told.
Fuck. These guys are crazy.
So now it's like, well, once you get King James's version, it's King James's version.
There we go. Well, the more you know, Joe.
The more you know. But I don't know what he's changed. Who knows, right? So my point is, I just know this part. What? He chopped off the tongues once he put the book together.
That was law at that point, baby.
I mean,
shit. Well, that was it on Shen Nung. Joe, in the next segment, I'm going to take you on a trip to the Adriatic Sea, where we're going to talk about the Greeks and the Romans and their use of cannabis.
Yeah.
So when we come back, it's Cannabis Talk 101.
Subscribe to our weekly newsletter on our website, CannabisTalk101.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A., I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
If you're looking for a quickie, check out Quickies Pre-Rolls at www.quickiesprerolls.com or on Instagram at Quickies Pre-Rolls with three S's.
Speaking of quickies, hi Adrian, Anna.
Oh, sorry.
Speaking of quickies, we're just playing. What are you doing later?
Like Joe, everyone loves a quickie.
Oh, yes.
All right, Joe.
Where are you taking me to now? What'd you say? Where in Greece?
The Adriatic.
Barcelona.
The Adriatic Sea.
The Adriatic. What is the Adriatic Sea? Why? I mean, I don't know.
That is the sea where Greece, its peninsula cuts off.
Why are all the buildings white in Greece like that?
That's just their vibe.
So dope.
No, I've been there firsthand to see it.
No
it is
way.
Very beautiful.
How do you fly into that? Is there like a big airport? Like I feel Greece
fly...
is just right there on the wall. Like, I feel like Greece is just this.
Well, Greece has a huge mainland, so I flew into Athens, and then, Athens was something. And then we spent a few days there seeing all like the Pantheon and all of their, you know, historical things from Greek mythology. And we went to a couple of museums and stuff. And then we drove
the Zeus and the gods and all of that. I love that. That's a good mythology. I mean,
yeah, no, it's very interesting. And then we went up to the Oracle of Delphi where they have that whole track up there. We like drove 3 hours on a bus through like a desert and then went up to this fucking hill where they would go and get their knowledge. And after that, we then took a cruise ship to all the islands, and it was like Santorini, Patmos, Crete, Mykonos. So we like got and stopped everywhere and was able to see a lot of Greece, and like can definitely understand the appeal of the photos
there. Oh yeah, I bet.
I will say their transportation system in Athens was incredible because of the 2004 Olympics, if I'm not mistaken. They have some fire public transportation. So if you're ever in Athens, take the fucking train. It's very worth it. Other than that, Athens was a somewhat of a dodgy experience.
What were you there for?
So a bunch of people from my graduating class of high school, we went on a trip.
Nice.
And so we stopped in Switzerland, Italy, and Greece. And it was like all in a package, so it ended up being like a really good price. So
how many of you kids went?
There was like 90.
Shut up.
There was 90 fools on this
trip.
Did
you get laid?
No comment.
Yes,
why is there fucking chuckling around? I mean,
yes,
it's either you did or didn't. I mean, what do you mean?
Don't lie to us, Connor, please.
No,
I mean,
no,
thank you,
I
Joe,
didn't.
Right?
No, I
don't,
didn't.
Don't
I mean,
lie
you
to
could
us.
Have screwed somebody at a different place and a hooker or something. I mean, who knows?
I mean, no, but I didn't, though. Seriously.
Oh, that's fine if you didn't. I'm
no,
just
I
wondering.
I didn't.
No big deal. Like, there's plenty of trips I've never got. I don't know. It was high school. I just thought maybe you did.
No, I mean, no, I was with all my homies.
Or
I mean, my
you...
high school trip, if I went out there, I would have definitely got a hooker. Joe would have, if I didn't hook up with one of my friends, I would have got a hooker.
I'm not in the 90s. I'm in 2019.
Is that not the same?
And like, I fucking get a hooker and then my mom finds out like fucking 5 minutes later.
I think Connor wanted a Spartan.
No, it's just shit flies, bro. I got.
So that's the problem. That's why you wouldn't do it. So even me back then, though, I wouldn't have cared because my parents would be like, oh, mijo, just strap it, you fucking bad. You know, my mom would have been like,
this isn't justifying not getting a hooker. However, I'm just saying, that's why shit didn't happen,
and
like
that's
that on the
why
trip.
It should be, Connor. That's why you're different than me, and I like you for that. Like, I would have, and I still would, and will, and I want to go right now to do it, but I can't. But my point is, that's how I think, right?
Yes,
and that's good because we're two different people. And I know back in high school, I remember hooking up with one chick at my senior trip thing, and then my buddy busted her out when we went back to school, which was stupid and crazy. And now that same buddy of mine is dead, rich, rest in peace, which is hilarious. So that's why I asked.
Yeah. Because
then I have like funny stories of my life doing things like, oh, did you hook up? Well, oh, because I have a crazy story that I hooked up. So that just seemed like would be a appropriate.
Yeah.
If you were a derelict like me.
Yes.
No, if you had a fake ID and buying fucking drinks and everything else, I was that guy on the trip.
Well, in Europe, you don't have to.
Exactly. So yeah, you partied ID. Out there and
oh,
you had fun.
For sure. And it was a fast-paced trip because we went to a lot of cities as well. So it was like started in Lucerne and then we spent a couple days in Lucerne and then went down to Venice. And then we did Assisi. We did Florence. Rome, Naples, which that's where my family originates from, Naples, my dad's side. So it was cool to be there. And then we flew over to Athens and then did the whole Athens shit. Then went on the
90 people doing this together.
Roughly. And plus chaperones, like the teachers that were, you know, guiding us through, of course, because there was.
Were they cool?
Oh my God. Like they're. Like the ones that went are like family friends. So
I always
want
to be a chaperone still and do things like that with
bro,
people. Like,
it was a lot of fun. Like
yeah.
I was like, you know, we were drinking together
yeah,
and like fucking
we're done.
Shooting
Let's go.
The shit.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good time and it was cool to be able to go experience that with my buddies. Like we still talk about it to this day.
Yes.
And so
as me at 52, we still talk about us pulling in. You ready for this? We were at what's that island right here? God, right off the island right here.
Catalina. Yeah.
We're at Catalina and, you know, I was ASB president, right? So me, my vice president, Brett, and the senior ASB or the senior class president, Gene, who Gene was the quarterback, Brent was the wide receiver, yeah. I'm the left tackle, yeah. right? And yeah, we're all crew. Those other roles too. Yeah, we had all those other roles at the school too.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
not only were we the football guys, but we're the school guys too. And then it's our senior trip, we're at Catalina, we're in the bar, and our coach and advisor walks in, we're all, hey, come in, Mr. Montes. We got the beer.
Oh my God.
And he just drinking with us. What and it beast. Went from, that was the end of the year and he was drinking. But let me back up to the beginning of the year when he came to meet us at Pizza Hut right there on Capitol and McKee. Hmm. And he comes in and I already had a pitcher of beer at the table and we're going into our senior year.
Oh shit.
And he goes, Joe, I can't sit down with you guys and have a fucking pitcher of beer in front of me. Have some respect for me. I'm the teacher. I'm like, well, you want to sit at the other table? You know, okay, fine. I'll put the beer on the side.
Yeah, oh, my God. You're just being nice.
So my point is, you know, that's fun to drink with the advisor. So what's going on in Greece, though?
So we have, you know, Greece and Rome. And, of course, Rome had a vast empire going on where their reach was very far in multiple places. However, there's been a lot of studies and a lot of architectural projects that have been commissioned to find, you know, the effects of cannabis back in the day. And, you know, they found that the Romans and the Greeks had extensive use of the plant as well as hemp. And the first one I'm going to talk about is in the form of concrete. So, you know, the Romans were using hemp concrete to reinforce the mortar in their buildings. And so,
I wonder how they were making it back then. Were they just getting it, breaking it up, and put it in there? I mean, how are they breaking that,
you know, I'm
tree
sure.
plant down to be, you know what I mean? Back then, I wonder. That's just, and I've heard actually of this, of them using that. Like, I've heard this story, but it's just weird to think how they figured that out to use that and why we haven't grown from that.
Well, and there's a probably a plethora of reasons as to why that's the case. And, you know, I'm about to break it down contextually and the pieces will start to, you know, put together for you. So hemp demands little water to grow and therefore requires no artificial irrigation and grows approximately 50 times faster than a tree. After being harvested and cut, the plants are then dried for a few days before being grouped and poured into containers with water, which swells the stems. When dry, the fibers can be utilized among other uses for the production of paper, fabrics, ropes, biodegradable packaging, biofuel, and construction materials. So you could see all of the utility that this plant has. And so now you have the Romans who are an advanced society. And
you would think they'd want to capitalize on this.
Well, they
could. And utilize that.
They couldn't contain it. And so they couldn't get a grip on it because.
And it was growing too fast, so to speak?
Growing too fast.
Because it takes no water, it's just growing. It's all this and so, hemp everywhere now because so, probably growing and growing more and more.
Exactly. So think about how efficient it is, and then think about how many uses it has. So then, what does that do to an economy? So that basically, you're taking money out from like the general economy because no one's buying materials. So therefore, the government's not getting tax. And so,
and this goes back to the Roman Empire. You're saying.
Yeah.
So the Roman Empire was making cloth from cotton.
Yeah, exactly. And so
they weren't microfibering everything back then. It wasn't the fucking.
And you know, they were making like paper scrolls with this thing. And so it had a very high utilization rate with it. And so, you know, the Roman Empire lasted a long time. And so there are points where, you know, I've found articles where they talk about how the Romans used it recreationally and also medicinally. So I think there's a lot of different points in time that, you know, cannabis had its own timeline with Rome. And so, you know, it's just another example.
Did you see the demise from Rome, so to speak, of cannabis was, you know, okay, we see the greatness of it and they're using it for this and that. How did it take its fall? Because that's the one thing I don't remember seeing in like the little documentary quick footages that I've watched of, like you mentioned, the China, what that happened there, but and the Romans, how did it become? I think it might have been the same thing too, but why did they not want to use it? I love this history, but it's hard to remember it all these years.
I know.
But you did a damn good job explaining the beginning part.
I appreciate
that. And taking me to Greece and taking me why it's there and why this and why that.
Yeah, of course. Got to get the context of the setting.
It's good stories. Because it's so true. The Roman Empire, as you look at this, okay, first time now is in China. Then we have the Roman Empires talking about cannabis and the usage there. It's just the moral of the fact of the story. You don't need to know what, you know, when they did that. But
yeah,
I like how you're taking me down the first ever. And we realize that this is before Moses. Now we're going during Moses, actually, the Roman Empire.
Yeah, I mean,
is Moses' time.
The Roman Empire was 1,000 years. So, you know,
so that was during
a long time.
Moses.
Yep.
So therefore, if the Romans did that because he went over, he wasn't the Roman Empire. No, he was the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
So he was using it.
I gotta look it up, but you know, the Romans had all the way up to Sinai in Egypt, all the way through there. The Romans had Egypt, you know, like Alexander the Great.
Oh, no, that was the other Roman. Egypt. He was the Egyptian one, if I'm not mistaken. The Egyptian one had the snake. Yeah. That's crazy. They all were using it back then.
Yes. No, they were for multiple uses, whether it be recreationally or medicinally. However, Joe, that is the end of the Roman Forum, so to speak. And I'm going to now take you back east to India in the Hindu Kush Mountains. So we'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101.
Namaste.
Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to Cannabis Talk 101 now.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Now back to the number one cannabis show on the planet. You know what? F*** it. Now back to the number one cannabis show in the universe, Cannabis Talk 101.
Have you ever found yourself caught up and need a lawyer to help you out? Well, we've got the man for you. Call our attorney, Mr. Freddie Sage at the Fox Firm. He has over 20 years of experience and has become one of the best known criminal defense firms and cannabis law attorneys in the state of California. From low-level misdemeanors to high-level felonies and any matters related to cannabis, the Fox Firm offers a free initial consultation on all legal matters. Call them now, 310-877-5033, or check out the website, thefoxfirm.com with two X's. Joe?
I like this journey you're taking me on, by the way. I am upset at myself that I didn't light a cigar at the beginning of the show because you took me down a path that I wanted to smoke one. I was mad at myself that I didn't. So thank you for this journey.
Not too late. You got it in time.
Never. Exactly. Not too late. This has been, thank you for taking me to China and then Greece. Where are we going next?
We're going to India.
That's right.
We're going to India. And, you know,
my daughter and my brother have been to India. Love it.
That's awesome. And I have not had the opportunity to go, and I'd love to see it at some point because I know it's very beautiful. And
I love the culture too.
It's very controversial, beautiful.
Controversial? What do you mean controversial? Just the work ethic? What do you mean?
No, it's just, you know, there's a lot of
India, elephants cultural, walking around.
Cultural differences.
That's what I love about different places though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I do love the good things, but like if you just think about like what's worked for those cultures, Like, dude, that's how they've been getting down. Who are we to sit here? I mean, you know, we want to make human rights for everybody, and I agree. I mean, I do, but if that's how they've gotten down, I mean.
Yeah, different horses for different courses, man.
You know? Not everyone's the same. So what's going on in India?
So India also has a rich history in cannabis.
Some say it came from India.
Some say it came from India. And, you know, it's funny because around the same time period as Shannung, maybe a little bit, you know, 500 years after.
So 2000 BC?
Yeah, roughly. The Indians started using cannabis. And so they started using it in a plethora of ways within their food. And so they had teas, they had drinks, they had, you know, they were infusing it with walnuts, whole bunch of stuff. So other preparations of cannabis in India include ganja and charas, stronger than bhang. Bhang was the drink that I was referencing, B-H-A-N-G. Ganja is made from the flowers and upper leaves of the female plant. Charas is the strongest preparation, is made from the blooming flowers. Similar in strength to hashish, charas contain a lot of resin. Both are smoked in earthenware pipe called chilium. The pipe is usually shared among 2 to 5 people, and it was a communal activity. So along with eating it, they were smoking it recreationally back then. And so, you know, they were growing it, cultivating it. They were green thumbs out there, Joe.
I mean, and it's been known, all the spices and everything that come from India like that, right? I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but when did it become like a bad thing out there too? Which is, I mean, I keep asking you these random, other bad question of like, it's been good. It was always known, in my opinion, as well as good. Like, look what it's done for us early times and how it heals. And even us as adults using it for real medicine. And dude, I rubbed my wrist with it this morning, right? And my elbow and my other wrist and my other elbow. And I was rubbing my hips with it. This new cream I just got. I don't know if you were here the other day when this company was here, but I've been talking to these folks on Instagram, and then Michaela talked to them, and then they came in. Dog, there's just some new medicine and creams out there that they're making and getting down better. Meaning this company was breaking down how they do it, and I'm like, it was different. And it's like, we're learning new things still.
Yeah.
We're still learning new ways how this cannabis can be like used in a way to help. And that's my biggest way, recover, just medicine wise.
Yeah.
In all aspects of life, recover, period.
Yeah. No, for real. It's like as your lungs need air and, you know, all of your bodily functions work, right? Like you need to pee, you need to pass stuff through that system. You need to pass stuff out your intestines. Your endocannabinoid system needs to be regulated, you know, in the right way. And like, people are missing out on it. And I genuinely think a lot of genetic issues could probably stem from, you know, not
a healthier environment, period. More children being developed stronger with adults using CBD properly.
It should be like a got milk campaign.
Got CBD?
Yeah, seriously.
Got cannabis? Got cannabinoid? Because your body has them. Do your body good. Get some cannabinoids in you today.
Because apparently got milk wasn't even right.
I mean, really, right?
It wasn't even real. And
you'd
it was
be
just
fat like me. Jeez. Big, drink more milk, Joe.
Big milk was fucking with us.
Joe and Joe look like we drank a lot of milk on Mijo. Joe, you drank some milk on boy. Your mom is Mijo, drink some milk.
Yeah, no.
That was my story.
Yeah. No, it's
you came in from the almond milk fucking family.
Fuck. No, I hated milk, bro. I was drinking the OJ and shit. That's it.
But you just have the metabolism. Your dad's
dude, I'm all ectomorphic and shit. Like I could fucking struggle
to gain weight.
I have to
do so hard to wake. Yeah, you're that guy.
Crazy.
You're that guy. I hate guys like you. Just want to punch you.
I hate it too. It sucks, but I'll be thanking myself later.
I guess you get to live the longer, healthier, so to speak.
Yeah, hopefully.
But you're the skinny guy with high cholesterol. Like the other thing that you just can't see. Like, oh my God, you look so healthy and great.
I know, but I'm just rotting on the inside.
Exactly, right? It's just like, what's going on with people nowadays?
I know, it's crazy. Back to our point in India. So I'm looking it up, and attempts at criminalizing cannabis in British India were made and mooted in 1838, 1871, and 1877. So from my understanding, the British came in, and when they colonized India and when they were doing the British East India Trading Company with all the tea and importing all their shit, you know, they probably were taxing the Indians and saw all the use for it too, and were like, you know what? Nah, fuck that. I'm not making money from it. You know, the British love their taxes. They love to tax the tea tax, bro. Boston Tea Party. Okay, let's see. The British found the use of cannabis so extensive in colonial India that they commissioned a large-scale study in the late 1890s. They were concerned that the abuse of cannabis was endangering the health of the native people and driving them insane. Okay. The British government asked the government of India to appoint a commission to look into the cultivation of the hemp plant, preparation of drugs from it, trade in those drugs, the social and moral impact of its consumption, and possible prohibition. So they came in there, saw all that shit, used the excuse that it was fucking making them insane, and they banned that shit. Or they tried to.
Ridiculous.
In 1961, International Treaty Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs classified cannabis with hard drugs. During the negotiations, the Indian delegation opposed its intolerance to the social and religious customs of India. As a compromise, the Indian government promised to limit the export of Indian hemp, and the final draft of treaty defined cannabis as cannabis means the flowering or fruiting tops of cannabis, blah, blah, blah. So, the Indian government is strict with the cannabis policy. According to Section 20 of the NDPS Act, holding a small quantity of weed can land you in jail for rigorous imprisonment of up to 6 months or a fine of 10,000 of their currency. Cultivation of cannabis for industrial purposes, such as making industrial hemp or for horticulture uses, is legal in India. So industrial horticultural use is legal. So, you know, that was probably their compromise with the British, that they couldn't use it psychoactively.
Do you guys know why, like, it was super legalized in the United States for so long? Like, is there a reason for that? Do you guys know?
A gang of reasons. From how I see it, it's that the government has never been prepared to truly profit off of it and don't understand the industry well enough to be able to do that. So they've just made it Schedule One the whole time because that's what's convenient, and they can fill their quotas on, you know, black market busts and all that shit.
It's a good question though, Joe. Like, when did the law first come in that cannabis is a Scheduled One drug? Is that the Google search, Connor? What is the fucking proper way to look that up of a date timeline? Is that's kind of what you're asking, right, Joe? Because I don't know that answer either, and I've heard it, I feel like, and I know it, but I don't know it.
No, yeah, I mean, like, you guys keep mentioning, like, the powerful properties it has and, like, how it was used in civilization for so long that, I never really...
You would think that in the United States, it just was there, and the Indians were using it, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? And so when they came to the United States, Indians were using it, the Mexicans were using it, obviously, right? So they kick everybody out. Let's just talk about California, how this really went down, or call it Plymouth Rock, whatever you want to do in Pennsylvania, but yeah, they came in and they pushed people out. Our government becomes a government. Let's just jump right ahead of time. And my point is, when does the law become weed? Smoking weed is illegal. You got that answer now, Connor?
In the Controlled Substance Act of 1970, the federal government categorized marijuana as a Schedule One substance, meaning it was considered to have no acceptable medical use and was among the class of drugs having the highest potential for misuse.
That's where the 60s folks were, the 60s and the 70s, they tried to come them down. That's when I came around.
Yep.
I'm a 72.
Yep.
You feel me? So therefore, I seen this like that. And that's why I started smoking when I was six.
Yep.
Because that was 78. You feel? Isn't that funny?
Crazy.
To think like that, when you look at this, and that's when it was first, it's a bigger deal now, but it really wasn't when I was first there, because I'm 8 years in,
yeah,
of it being illegal. You know, my brother's already coming from Nebraska. He's already 10 years older than me, so he's experienced it being legal to now it's an illegal drug. I just put that together right now for the first time in my life.
Crazy. The time, because, like, think about it, in school even, they, like, don't teach history in chronological order, so everything seems like super
I've been doing
distance,
wrong for exactly forever distance, ever. It's like, it's not that long ago.
No,
was 8 years before I fucking smoked weed that it was illegal.
Yeah,
2 years before I was born.
Yeah,
come on.
I know, it's pretty wild.
It's
how
crazy that you say that
everything coincides and kind of happens around the same time, you know. It's out of whether it's divine.
I never looked at, just to think of my life, dog. 2 years before I was born, cannabis wasn't even fucking illegal.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Wow.
And to think like Mark and Craig Wasserman, they were growing up, it was legal.
Yeah.
And then it got illegal. Fuck.
Put That's the fucking hammer down. Was that Nixon? 1970. Hold up.
Who was that president? What, was it Nixon?
I think so. That might have been after Watergate.
Who was the president in 1970, 1972 when I was born, wasn't it? 72 when I was
Nixon. 69 to 74. Nixon. Yeah, it was this fucker. This dude is such a bastard. Oh my God.
So Nixon's the one that did it, huh? He was a little fucking. He had that fucking face too. He's like, he got punched.
Did the fucking.
Every time he got punched.
Did the peace sign shit. Yeah.
He was all smoking cigars too, wasn't he? Wasn't Nixon the cigar smoker too?
I think so. And did he sent us to fucking. Did he send us to Nam? Because that was after Korea. Korea was in 50s.
Nixon, Nam? I think you're right.
Or he might have taken over during Nam. But either way.
70s, I mean, yeah, same time.
He's an asshole.
Thank you, Connor, for the history lesson. It's a pleasure.
Of course. Thank you all for listening to Cannabis Talk 101, your world's number one source for everything cannabis. I'm Connor, and this is Joe Grande. And if no one else loves you,
we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue and Joe Grande, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. And make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to Cannabis Talk 101 now.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.